Oh, Malta.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Tired.
Tired.
I think it hit me today.
So y'all been doing some sightseeing?
Oh no, they've been shopping and visiting today. They visited a cousin that had moved from.
Good
So.
evening.
Evening.
You have any questions?
Oh, this.
You're breaking up, so you don't have to answer the question right now.
Hang on.
As I was saying, you don't have to ask the question. You say if you do have one.
Yes, I have one.
Okay. Does any
Hello?
We're still connected. I
We're
don't
still
know.
connected.
Okay.
Hannah, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Marco, why don't you go ahead and ask your question?
Okay. We were listening to some teachings last couple of days, and one of them was on Noahide laws,
Okay.
which is, and in the list, the seven Noahide laws, it doesn't mention anything about the Sabbath, and it only and then it stated that don't eat the flesh of a live animal, but it doesn't state that there was any other guidelines for the prohibition of eating non-kosher food or clean food, should I say? So the question is asked, why didn't they mention that? And my response is it's probably a deeper meaning in those seven Noahide laws. Those are just kind of recaps of what the Noahide laws are.
Is that the
So I
question
guess,
so far?
yeah, I'm asking, I guess my question is there are deeper teachings on those seven Noahide.
Are you, can you tell me who was the teacher or what organization was promoting it?
It was, let me think of which rabbi that was. Rabbi,
Was it
he has
Alon
passed. No, this one, he's passed away. He lived up in New York. I'd have to get his name. I can't think of it at the moment.
And was it the organization? You remember the organization name?
It wasn't an organization. He was just basically teaching.
Okay. And he
If I could
listed
get
the,
hang
he
on.
li generally
Oh, it's Rabbi
listed
Gordon.
the
It was Rabbi Gordon.
seven faith. Okay. And his teaching approach was to list the seven and discuss different halakhot relating to them, different ways of dealing with them. So, and then whoever you're listening with was questioning why was it just the tearing the limbs of a live animal and didn't go into any further details? Is that the question?
Right, and it didn't mention Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath.
Okay, do you remember the seven Noahide laws?
Yes.
Go ahead and tell me what they are.
Not to use God's name in vain. Not to have idols.
Okay, so those are the two, not to use God's name in vain and not to have idol worship.
Right.
The third one?
And the third one, and I probably have them out of order. Not, of course, we just mentioned the, not to eat the flesh of a live animal. And
right.
The other one was, let me think, the court system, something to do with the court system.
Right. Right.
Not to commit murder.
Right.
How many is that? Five, six?
Yeah, five.
Yeah.
There's two.
Five.
Yeah.
The other two are. I can't remember the other two offhand.
Sana, do you remember what they are?
Not anymore. I should, because of the seven, you know, the path of the righteous Gentile. But gosh, for me, that was 25 years ago. Let's see. You don't profane. You don't curse. You don't murder. You don't steal.
She didn't mention steal, so that's the six.
She said establishing courts of justice, something like that.
She didn't say the adultery or coveting.
Adultery, that's it. Okay.
Yeah, those are the seven.
Okay.
One of God's names is Sabbath. So under the law of not taking God's name in vain is the laws of Sabbath. Your answer to the other person that it's just a category is correct. The ten utterances, which many people call the Ten Commandments, are categories. Every one of the 613 mitzvot will fall under those categories. The Noahide has seven, but within those seven, he has the choice to make the additional 606 mitzvot his own. The Jew does not have that choice. That choice was made when the Torah was given and the community, the Klal Yisrael, said, we will do and then we will learn, or we will do and then we will listen. When that statement was made, all of us were there, and we concurred. We said that statement with one voice, one unity. So that took away, we no longer have that choice of saying, I can do this mitzvah or I can do that mitzvah. With that said, I also will say that over the course of the lifetimes and the reincarnation, various souls have reached a point where they have done certain mitzvot that they may not need to continue doing them because they've corrected that for their soul. So it gets confusing in that sense because the Jewish soul doesn't have the choice. But given that kind of understanding, when you apply it to the Noahide has these seven categories. And there are halachot that have been promulgated for the Noahide living in the land of Israel. Those halachot have been put forward. I have I've given classes on all of them. If you go in the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, you'll find those classes and those handouts. So that you can follow it. But the difference between the children of Israel and the children of Noah is the children of Noah have the free choice to say, I'm willing to accept this mitzvah as long as they do the seven categories in one form or another. They have the choice to take on Shabbat. Now, why wasn't Shabbat made one of those categories? It's within one of those categories. Why wasn't it made a category unto itself? The simple answer that gets me off the hook is, well, who knows the mind of God? But that's not an acceptable answer to me. And so the answer that is, as I think about it, and it's just strictly my opinion, and you have to decide that for yourself, whether it's valid or not. In the 7 days of creation, it says that God rested on the seventh day. But before that, it says essentially he completed the work on the seventh day. So the reason that the Noahide does not have the category of Shabbat is because the Noahide is in a process of coming from the fall of Adam into the Klipot, progressing forward, first becoming a child of Noah, then becoming a child of Israel, and ultimately returning to Adam before the sin, where death is not prevalent and doesn't apply to us. But when we look at those nations that are the children of Noah versus the children of Israel, the children of Israel do not have the choice about the Sabbath. The child of Noah has the choice. And by making that choice, they move forward in growing into becoming a child of Israel. Because before the giving of the Torah, everyone was a child of Noah. And the Torah was given, and the children of Israel said, we will do, and then we will listen. That choice needs to be made by each person. And since Shabbat is really an important aspect, because what is the difference between man and God on a simplistic level of answering? God worked on Shabbat, but then he rested because he was complete. Man, the children of Israel, rest on Shabbat. There's no work. But another component of the vessel are those 70 nations that are children of Noah. And so their choice they're moving and completing between who is the difference between God and man is individual nations have different aspects, different attributes of God. And so on Shabbat, the Noahide does not need to rest per se, but again, it's relative to their soul. So if their soul needs to rest and knows that, they will motivate that person, that body of that person, to choose to keep Shabbat. Have I given you an explanation that works for you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Any other questions?
I have one another.
Go ahead.
This was asked as well, and it wasn't any teaching.
Let me interrupt you because I didn't answer your question about the limbs of the animal.
Right. The
limb. If you look at the halakha under that category of the limbs of the animal, it's essentially the laws of kashrut with one. Well, many differences, but essentially, the child of Noah is able to eat the chazer, the pig. They are able to eat shellfish and so things of that nature. But they still have laws of kashrut. They should not mix milk and meat. That applies to every human being. That's the idea of do not tear the limb from an animal that's living. Because on one level, you don't want to cause the animal pain. On the other level, you don't want that animal to inject the equivalent of human adrenaline into the animal's body, and then the person consumes that adrenaline, because that's what takes us out of balance. And if you look at the shellfish, and if you look at the chazer, as an example, the pig has split hooves, indicating that it has both right and left column energy within it. But it doesn't have the chewing its cud, which is an indication that it has no way of bringing the central balance. It just has these two energies so mixed that a human being that has a large desire to receive, which is the children of Israel, will become unbalanced by eating the pig. Whereas the children of Noah, their desire to receive it is significantly lower. And so when they eat the pig, their desire does not become as unbalanced as the children of Israel would eating the same animal. But again, it's the same issue. The category is kashrut, it's kosher. Kosher laws. They are different for the children of Noah, but they're still under this category, which is titled do not tear the limb from a living animal. Now go ahead and ask the other question.
Can I interrupt just a minute? This was
sure.
An example that was given me years ago by the one who really was responsible for beginning to teach Gentiles Torah, and they started with the Noahide. It was the Noahide group in Tennessee, an example they gave that just really struck a picture in my head was the idea that you had an animal that was alive and you would cut off maybe a leg and eat the leg, and the animal would have to get around on three legs. In other words, you ate a part of that animal. You didn't kill the whole animal at one time. That was an example that they used.
Go ahead, Martha.
This hasn't anything to do with Dalhite, but Hashem made man, female, male and female. And the question was asked, why didn't he make the animals male and female? And I said, fish are male, female sometimes, you know.
Correct.
And I said, some animals aren't, some are. So that was one of the questions asked. And that's about as far as I could get with the answer.
First off, there are seven levels of sexuality with different words describing different meanings, some of which those meanings have been lost. But there are seven words describing male and female, one of which is a hermaphrodite, an individual that has both sex organs. Another is a tumtum, an androgynous, has no sex organs. So when we say God created man, male and female, it's a little bit incomplete. The majority of the people are definitely male or female. But there's a significant number that are made mixed in different ways. As I said, there are seven words. Now, when it comes to fish, when it comes to animals, when it comes to insects, there's very few that species that are hermaphrodite, that create their species from themselves. They all need different parts. Different male and female is terms that we use. And it may not be in the same idea that they lay eggs and they get fertilized with a sperm type thing. But, you know, yes, there are a few species that don't. They're able to bring forth children of their species without another animal, another unit of their species. But the majority of everything created in the world is based on male and female, based on two of organisms needing to come together to create the continuity of their species. And that, when we understand Adam was created male external, female internal, and that back-to-back concept, we begin to understand this is the nature of creation. And there's a purpose behind that. Because continuity comes from the strength of the left column being connected to the right column, because essentially the two columns have no ability to be connected. They're so different, they're like two different species. when we, because think of it in terms of sharing and receiving. There's no continuity there. There's no ability to bring them together on a spiritual level. It's only in the physical world that two opposites can be brought close to each other. But that's really not the way it works. It works because when male and female are so separate that they can't communicate, there is a third method, a certain power of attraction in the physical world to bring them together and create the central column. So when somebody says men were created male and female, why weren't the animals? The answer is male and female were not, men were not created male and female. They were created male, female, and center column. We just don't see it in the physical world because doctors used to, basically parents didn't want children to be thought of as so different. So they didn't say anything when the doctors would operate for the last 200 or 300 years on babies with these conditions. Today they don't operate, they're aware of it, and that's, all part of moving forward of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender communities. They're saying we're here, we're different, we're aware, and the doctors have stopped doing that. As far as my understanding is, they have. Really haven't checked that out to be verified. And I know they did it before.
They stopped taking the female or the male part out and leaving them with one or the other. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Okay. They stopped that about 50, 70 years ago, something like that. At least that's what it was reported to me. As I said, I've never verified it for myself.
Okay.
But that, there is one amazing attribute of the child who has both sex organs. One of their attributes is absolute sensuality and beauty. It's an aura that they have, and there are very few of them.
So it means they could have babies if left with the female organ.
Yeah, they will have a womb. Mm-hmm. And they will have fallopian tubes. They have the ability to gestate a baby.
Mm-hmm.
They may or may not have the ability to they can't ejaculate into their own womb.
Why? Wow. Well, that's, I kind of told, I think I told him that it could have just well been that, Adam could have had children, instead of the female. If made male, female, he was female inside and male outside, it could have just as well that, you know, Shem would have said he could have produced offspring. Just as we could have had, and I said, you can think of it this way, females could have had breasts like cows, you know, the udders, you know, instead
Correct.
Of split breast.
Correct.
They look at you real strange. They look at you real strange when you say that, but.
The world is an amazing place, and
mm-hmm.
it's even more amazing when you contemplate the things that might have been and that God said, no, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to ask, why would he think it's not good to have that?
Is there a study on that back 70 years ago? Where would you find those studies on the surgeries on those individuals that had both female and male organs?
You have to go back into the medical texts, the med school texts, what they were being taught when they were learning to be doctors. And even today, what do they teach kids, not kids, but what do they teach people in med school? To become a doctor, they essentially teach them, these are the normally accepted medical procedures for this illness. And so they would have it there as well.
Anouk, when you, I don't know, somewhere along the way you taught the seven sexes, and I remember the word crown didn't mean what we think it means, and I did look on the internet, and I found an article. It was titled "The Seven Sexes of Humankind," and it was written by David E. Rome. And I just set a folder on my desktop. I don't remember it. I don't know if I just didn't have time or if I've completely forgotten. And I don't know if it's one that you would consider legitimate, if we put it that way. And I don't know if it's still online, but I did have it saved. And it does have a pretty big bibliography, one that's a whole page.
Yeah, I remember that one. I don't, because I had found
like,
a...
It was dated in, I have it dated as in the year 2016.
I think mine was back in the early 2000s.
Well, it was
when I went looking into
it. But when I saved it, it was 2016. But it does say spring semester 2001. So it was written at that time. But when I saved it, I guess that must have been the year that you either taught a class or mentioned it.
Was. I didn't get into the Noahide stuff until about. It's going back about 3-4 years. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the author's name? David. What?
David E. Rome. R-O-M-M.
Okay.
I remember the article I had never mentioned it. It just made the statement they were the seven words in the Talmud describing different sexuality attributes. And
this one is 10 pages.
But they never, told us what the words were. They never defined it.
Mm-hmm. I can send it to you, and you can look it over and see whether it's something that, you know, to share with any classes. I hate to send anything that I haven't read thoroughly, you know, before I send it. And they list the seven sexes as girl, boy, woman, man, N-V-R-E-D. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Say it again.
And prone.
Spell it again.
It's N, like in Noah, V, as in zebra, R-E-D.
Nazareth.
Okay, and then crone, I remember you saying it didn't mean an old woman. And geezer.
Right.
Where those individuals, were they from other nations? I would think that.
No, they're spread throughout of humanity. Yeah, you will find these seven groupings throughout every person. What the Talmud speaks about is if a Kohen has one of these children, can that child eat from the Kohen's, from the holy the sacrifices that the parts of the animals and so forth that the Kohen gets, can that child eat from it? And so they have all of these rules that, you know, certain whatever the names are for these seven, that this particular category can be eaten by this particular person, because it's, you know, the Talmud was describing these people as different levels of holiness. But it is spread throughout the human world.
I wonder why they were born with such, with two different organs, or two different aspects
tikkun.
Of females. Mm-hmm.
It's tikkun.
Just 2 weeks ago, a young girl told me that she was born with the brain of a boy, but the body of a girl, and that when she was a certain age, she was going to go through the hormone treatments. And it was very evident because she cut her hair in boy style and had been wearing what looks like a suit and tie. I mean, so, you know, it was pretty evident. But this last 2 weeks, she shaved her head completely. And then she told me that. And, I don't know. I just didn't know what to say. So I felt like better not say anything than, you know.
What to say is to accept them as part of God's diversity.
Mm-hmm. But I often
I'm not saying it's easy to do with the prejudices that we've grown up with, but that's mm-hmm. the goal.
One thing, when they do go through the hormone processes, and if they're male and become a female, they still don't have a uterus, you know. But I'd rather right now just not say anything until I know better.
The medical procedures, they can transform the external aspect. They can transform a female into a male or a male into a female. So the medical procedures are there. They go through hormonal treatments prior to it. They go through very extensive psychological and psychiatric testing and treatment before the medical procedure is allowed.
Do they have to continue the hormone treatment the rest of their life?
Well,
I would think
the hormonal treatments to grow breasts, they don't, because once the breasts have grown, they don't have to continue it. But certain parts of the hormonal treatments, they will have to continue.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we live in Louisiana. Would you like to know how an alligator becomes either a male or a female?
I'm going to say, yes, I want to know, but do I really?
Well, when we took our second graders on a field trip to an alligator farm, and we were told that it depends on the temperature of that's given to the eggs. You know, when the eggs are laid in whatever, the sand or the water or whatever, the temperature determines whether it's male or female.
Right.
I was afraid I was going to get asked a lot of questions when we got back to the classroom, but they didn't say anything, so maybe they were too young. Yes.
Well, there is a there's a psychological stage that children go through, both males and females, called latency. That's really a protection against becoming sexually active and sexually aware too early in the process of their development. And so that must have been the age you got them. They were both sexes were in latency.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 7 years old.
That's, you know, it starts around five, I think, five, six. Is when it starts.
Yeah.
That's when you get the, you know, in nursery school you can have the boys and the girls play together, but by the time they're in 5, 6 years old, they don't want to have anything to do with the other one. That's the stage of latency. So I guess we're out of questions, so I'll call it a night.
Okay.
You all have a beautiful evening.
Okay. Thank you for your questions. Okay. They always are good ones.
Okay. Good night. I'm a young child and an old body, just curious.
Well,
Shalom.